Why don't we talk a little bit about Daniel today? We're not going to go any further than the first chapter. We'll tell you about this as we go along. But believe it or not, there are seven character traits of Daniel in chapter 1. Now you're going to say, when I get to them, you're going to say, how is this a character trait? Well, I think you'll see as we go along. Let's look at Daniel a moment. Daniel, his name means God is judge. Now, Daniel was a young man of nobility. Likely, at the time of his being taken to Babylon, he was approximately 16 to 18 years of age. He was a very good-looking man, intelligent, wise. He was trained, when he got to Babylon, he was trained in the Babylonian ways of its culture and its language. He entered into personal service with Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, as an advisor and also as an overseer. He lived in Babylon for over 60 years into his 80s. In fact, he lived into the time of the Persian Empire, when Babylon was taken over by Persia. Daniel grew up in a very turbulent time. Born about 620 BC, taken to Babylon after the siege of Jerusalem ended, where Israel had been under attack for some time and finally came under this world power of Babylon. Daniel, along with other native Hebrews, were exiled in Babylon for many, many years. Jews, you know, they do today as well. Jews love their homeland. Jerusalem, the temple. And it was very hard for them to be forced out of their homes, taken to a foreign culture and a foreign country. And as we have pointed out, Daniel was just a young boy when he forced to leave everything that he knew. All the rest of his life he lived in a pagan and sinful culture. There were continual temptations to live as those around him, a sinful people. Peer pressure was strong to get him to conform. There was even a law passed forbidding the worship of anyone or anything except the Babylonian king. It was certainly not an easy life or an easy time in the history of Israel for Daniel to live. Daniel 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us of the captivity of the children of Israel by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And this was prophesied by God's prophet in Isaiah, the 39th chapter, verses 3 to 7. Let's look into, we do a little research here. As we research this event in history, we learn that over 18,000 people were carried away to Babylon. And we see this from 2 Kings 24, verses 14 to 16. And of these 18,000, it was God who chose 4 as his special messengers to the lost nation of Israel. Thus, we're going to find in a few moments, we're going to find that the first character trait of Daniel is going to be the word chosen. Just keep that in mind. And you say, well, how is this a character trait to be chosen? Before we go into this first character trait, let's see what Isaiah says about this nation of Israel. We read, this is from Isaiah 39, 3 to 7. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and saith unto him, what saith these men? And from hence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, All that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days will come that all, that's all, that is in thy house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried away to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away to Babylon, and they will be officials in the palace. Now this is important because I said there was four here, and we'll talk about them in a moment. Following Isaiah 39 on this captivity, we go to 2 Kings 24:14 to 16 for a little bit more of the knowledge of how they got to Babylon in the first place. And then there we read, He carried away all Jerusalem, all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, all the craftsmen and smiths, and none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. He carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty ones of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. This should give us a little of the background of how Daniel got there to Babylon. So there's another point, though, that we really think we need to examine and take to heart. We find that it is only through the Bible that we learn about our Heavenly Father and His work for us. We sing in our hymnal number 22 that we just sang here tonight. Blessed Bible, precious word, boon most sacred from the Lord. Glory to His name be given for this choicest gift from heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, we read that the stories of the Bible were recorded for what purpose? For examples for us. Examples for us. One of the lessons contained in the book are the lessons that are contained in the book of Daniel. God's grace and salvation are seen throughout this entire book. In the prophetic portion of this book, the history of the world is pictured in dreams and symbols. And equally significant for us are the lessons that we can learn from the development of Daniel's character. We are told that the case of Daniel may be studied with profit by all who desire perfection of character. Now this is found in the book. And with this counsel in mind, let us look at seven character traits of Daniel. We're only going to go into the first chapter because they're all there, whether you can see them in word or not. And you might think of character from different angles, but these are the seven C's, because every character trait starts with the letter C. The first character trait is from Daniel 1, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, and that is being chosen. He said that a while back. Both Daniel and his three friends, who were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these three, including Daniel, had their names changed. You know how important names were to the Jews? And you know what? I think that you'll all find that they were very important to your parents as well. I know my mother wanted to call me Carlton, but she left out the E. So it's C-A-R-L-T-O-N instead of C-A-R-L-E-T-O-N. There was three Bible students by the name of Carlton in our class at one time. This is where Mom got this idea. Now, don't ask me what the word Carlton means. I don't know. I've never looked it up. But these three, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, along with Daniel, had their names changed. Daniel was changed to Belteshazzar. Now, this is interesting. Lord of the Straitens, treasure. Now, that's interesting because it means Lord of the limited treasure. I don't know whether Daniel became in the palace, whether he dealt with money. I do not know, but it was his name. And how do I know this? This comes from Strong's 1095, if you want to look that up. Now, the three were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their names that were changed. Now, Shadrach means guest of the king. I don't know why his name was changed to the guest of the king, but that's the way it was. And then there was Meshach, the great scribe. The great scribe. Now, was he a writer? A scribe? I don't know. Then there was Abednego, which was changed, and it means son of Nebo. Now, that's Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know. So as we go in now, we find that these three, along with Daniel, were not chosen by the Babylonian king. We believe that they were chosen by Almighty God. They were good looking. Yes, they showed intelligence in every branch of wisdom. They were endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. Chapter 1, verse 4. Now we see that the first character trait of Daniel was being chosen. And Daniel was chosen for a purpose. Those in Christ, you know, are also chosen for a purpose. We read in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, or a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy people, for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim His excellencies. That is, the word excellencies here is praises, so that you can show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Another point on being chosen is found in John, the 15th chapter and verse 19. If you were of the world would love you. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world. We are not of the world, brethren, because we want nothing to do with its hopes, aims, and ambitions. If there is a purpose to our being chosen, like there was with Daniel, it's found in 1 Peter 2:9, to proclaim the praises of our Heavenly Father. And besides this, we read, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, or praise, and to praise knowledge. 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5. Now, in this text, there are many more things that we can add. All these will bring praise if we add them to our life. All of them will bring praise to our Heavenly Father. If, now that's a big word, if we develop them like our Lord Jesus and all of those that the Lord is now calling. There's another reason, brethren, for being chosen. Like Daniel, if we're faithful. Now, Daniel, don't get me wrong. Daniel was not to be of the heavenly host like you are, like I hope I am. No, he wasn't, but he had a reason for being chosen by Almighty God, and I think we'll find that as we go along. But if we are faithful to our covenant with our Heavenly Father, it's a covenant of sacrifice, as we read in Psalms 50, verse 5. We, with our head and Lord Jesus, will have the privilege. And I think that I can't imagine this privilege, my dear brethren, of bringing back to perfection all the world of mankind. You know that we're part of a seed class. You say seed class? Yes. And this is shown to us in Genesis 12:3 and in Genesis 22, verses 16 to 18, and also in Galatians 3, 16 and 29. As it was with Daniel, so it is with all of the Lord's people. There is something different. Did you know that there's something different about you? There's something different about me? Yes, there is. There's something different about our lives and our character. You know, we're classified as being peculiar. Yes, peculiar. Not from the thought of something that looks in looks or dress or speech, but a people, again, for a purpose. Strong's 15:19. So, the Heavenly Father saw in Daniel something that he could choose and use, and there's something in all of you which the Heavenly Father can call you, can work with you, and you will be a very special people for His holy name, a people for a purpose. The second and third character traits can be summarized by the words conviction and commitment. Now, dear brethren, listen closely, because this had to do with me, and I found it out after studying the book of Daniel that I had to change. I had to change. Daniel 1:8 says, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. We find that as a child, Daniel had been raised to know God's health laws. Do we know the health laws? And in this foreign land, he had an opportunity now to eat and drink as he wanted. So the offer of the king to eat of his meat and wine was a test of Daniel's personal convictions in the areas of diet, health, and obedience to God's claims in all areas of his life. Before he took any public stand in regard to his diet, he determined in his own heart that what he had been taught was the truth. And he was convinced of his need to remain faithful to God in this area. His next step was to make a public statement of his conviction not to defile himself. What a commitment this was to truth. When Daniel requested that he might not defile himself with the king's diet, the prince of the eunuchs was fearful that the young men would look worse than those who had the privilege of eating the king's food. He was concerned that allowing the Hebrews to eat and drink according to their custom would make them less fit than the rest of the young men and could thereby endanger his own wife. You know, we might ask ourselves, was the matter of diet really important enough to risk their lives? This wasn't just Daniel. This was the other three with Daniel. They all asked the same thing, to eat what they knew was God's health laws. Do we really think it's important to risk our lives along this line? There's a woman by the name of Ellen White, and she tells us about the decision that was made in regard to diet, and we quote, "What if Daniel and his companions had made a compromise with the heathen officers and yielded to the pressure of the occasion by eating and drinking as was customary with the Babylonians? That single instance of departure from principle would have weakened their sense of right and the abhorrence of wrong. Fundamentals of Education." This is a book, evidently, that Ellen White had written. Page 81. So this, my dear brethren, makes it extremely clear that our choices, yours and mine, our choices in dietary matters can either weaken or strengthen our sense of wrong. There is a strong temptation to eat as we desire. Oh, how I know this. According to the customs around us. We do this because it's easier and doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. But the situation of Daniel had much more at stake than hurt feelings. It could have cost him and the price of the eunuch their lives. It is therefore clear that we should not conform our dietary decisions or any of God's commands to what is customary in the surroundings that we find ourselves. There's another statement from another book called The Great Controversy, page 509. Which makes a similar observation about putting ourselves on common ground with the world. And we quote, "Conformity to worldly customs converts the church to the world. It never converts the world to the church. To Christ. Familiarity with sin will inevitably cause it to appear less repulsive. He who chooses to associate with the servants of Satan will soon cease to fear, that is, reverence, their master. When in the way of duty we are brought into trial, as was Daniel in the king's court, we may be sure that God will protect us, yes. But if we place ourselves under temptation, sooner or later we're going to fall." This is end of quote from this book, The Great Controversy. You know, our Lord Jesus had a test of appetite. You know that very well. In the wilderness, when Satan came to him and said, "Turn these stones into bread." You know, he had gone without food for 40 days. He was hungry. Yes, he had a perfect system. He had a perfect body. You say, well, so it was easy for him to go through this. I doubt that very much. But at the end of these 40 days, it was a trial for him. Matthew 4:3. "Turn these stones into bread." As Jesus struggled with appetite, so will we. If we are to gain perfection in character, we must overcome in this area of our life. Overcoming appetite is so crucial that Christ fasted 40 days to overcome. And through His strength, we may be victors, not only in appetite, but we may have the moral power to be victorious over every other temptation of Satan. So what would become of Daniel's request to the Prince of the Eunuchs? Why would the Prince even consider Daniel's request if it might cost him his life? Part of the reason the prince considered Daniel's request was because of his fourth character trait, courtesy. Daniel 1:9 tells us that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel had indeed gained the respect of the Babylonians, partly because of the courtesy and respectful way in which he approached them. So, what about us? You know, we can do a lot if we have courtesy and do things in a respectful way. He had been taken from his home, Daniel, and was a captive in a strange land. But his courtesy was a daily witness to his captors. We find that Daniel possessed the grace of genuine meekness. He was true, firm, and noble. He sought to live in peace with all. Yet he was unbending as the lofty cedar whenever principle was involved. Principle. In everything that did not come in collision with his allegiance to God, he was respectful and obedient to those who had authority over him. But he had so high a sense of the claims of God that the requirements of earthly rulers were held subordinate. The record of his noble, self-denying life is an encouragement to our common humanity. From it, we may gather strength to nobly resist temptation and firmly and in the grace of meekness stand for the right under the severest of trials. Brethren, how respectful and courteous are we? I had to ask myself that question. Are we like Daniel? Daniel's abilities to stand first based on principle was the result of his fifth character trait, that of confidence in God's word. Daniel risked his very life because he had faith in God's word. The Bible is full of examples of men and women who have risked everything because of their belief in God's word. You know, we may not have been in that position that Daniel was in the past, but each of us may face the same decision that Daniel did sometime in the future. The question is, are we willing to risk all to follow God's word? We read in Titus 1, verses 8 and 9, "Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of those good, sober, just, holy, temperate, those holding fast the faithful word as you have been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." In other words, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. If you are it is a faithful saying, that is, that if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. So, following God's word, we have the promise of his protection. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you, but that's common to man. However, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above that which you are able, but will with the test make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I love that. God is there. Luke 21:18 says, not even one hair of your head will perish. Can you imagine that? Because of Daniel's courtesy and firm stand for principle, the head officer decided to allow Daniel a 10-day test of the diet that he proposed. Pulse. You know what pulse is? I think you do, probably. If you look it up, you'll see it's vegetables. Vegetables and water. Can you imagine eating vegetables, nothing but vegetables and water for 10 days? And then coming off like Daniel did and his three friends? He allowed Daniel a 10-day test of the diet that he proposed, Daniel 1:10-16. With the confidence in God's word, Daniel, for not just the next 10 days, but throughout his entire stay in Babylon, displayed the last two character traits: courage and consistency. It takes true courage and strength of character, not just a momentary flash of glory, to stand for a lifetime. Daniel continued, it says. It says he continued. This kind of courage and consistency that Daniel had, only God can give. Once we take a stand for our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father, we must, with his help, display consistency in our walk in the truth. Without this, our witness will be weak, if not even harmful. There's another quote from a book called Prophets and Kings, which brings this home to our heart. And it says, strong, subtle influences may bind them to the, strong, subtle influences may bind them to the world, but the Heavenly Father is able to render futile every agency that works for the defeat of his chosen ones. In his strength, they may overcome every temptation. They may conquer every difficulty. There is need like those who, like Daniel, will do and dare for the cause of right. Pure hearts, strong hands, fearless courage are needed, for the warfare between vice and virtue calls for ceaseless diligence. We must, in our warfare against appetite and against every other sin that the devil brings our way, we must stand like Daniel, that faithful statesman, a man who no temptation could corrupt. And you know, with all of this, there are rewards. Our Heavenly Father never leaves the faithfulness of his children unrewarded. As a result of his obedience in all areas to God, Daniel experienced rewards that were not shared by other captives. First, Daniel experienced in his physical being a special impact. He was healthier than those who ate the king's food. His countenance glowed with life and vitality, and he had a degree of health that was not experienced by his fellow captives, excepting the other three we're about to see. We too can find health beyond that seen in this world when we follow God's health laws. Daniel also experienced an intelligence that was not common among people around him. So as we develop our spiritual character and are faithful to follow his requirements, God can also bless us with skill in learning. This vital link between our spiritual nature and our mental capacities is emphasized, as in the case of Daniel. In exact proportion as our spiritual character is developed, the intellectual capabilities are also increased. Daniel 1:17 also states that Daniel had special insight into the meaning of dreams of the king. He had an understanding and wisdom that only God could give him. You won't be able to do that, I doubt, or me. But Daniel had that ability to do that, and only God could give it to him. It says here, the influence he had in society, especially with the king, can be seen throughout the whole book of Daniel. Yes, the whole book of Daniel. If these rewards, physical health, intelligence, insight, and influence were just seen in Daniel, one might say that it was just a coincidence. However, the Bible is full of examples of men and women who, by obeying God, have received similar rewards in their life. We think of David, Joseph, Queen Esther, Moses, John the Baptist, and Paul. These are all pillars of the Bible history, and these all were blessed as they obeyed God in their daily lives. So, brethren, in conclusion, we must strive to develop each of the seven character traits if we will develop in character. We must follow in the steps of Jesus, do the will of our Heavenly Father. We know that these are very trying times, and our Heavenly Father wants us to be His very special chosen people to witness to the world. He wants us to be a people of deep conviction that is based upon His Word, to be committed to stand for our convictions regardless of the circumstances or pressures brought upon us by the world. He wants us to be a courteous people that deal with each other gently and with meekness. He wants us, through study of the Bible and through life's experiences, to develop firm and unshakable confidence in Him and His Word. And He wants us to have courage to privately and publicly stand for principle regardless of the circumstances or the costs. Lastly, our Heavenly Father wants us to be consistent in our character development and in our Christian walk before Him and the world. The development of these traits is crucial to the perfection of our character and our ability to witness to the power of Almighty God. Now we're coming to the close. So we go to, lastly, a book called Education, page 57. And there we read, "The greatest want of the world is the want of those who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Those who will not be bought or sold, those who in their inmost soul are true and honest, those whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole, those who will stand for the right, though the heavens fall." Unquote. So I want to develop this kind of a character, brethren, and I hope that you do too. I want to develop the kind of character that Daniel had, one that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. And if we develop these seven character traits, God will be pleased with them. We will develop a lovely character. May this not be just our desire to strive for, but a reality.